We had a little poll last week of which topic that I should share on. And most of you, the majority of you, picked God and his superhuman weakness. And so that's what we're going to talk about. I'm going to use a lot of scripture, so again, you may want to have a pen handy and a piece of paper and jot down the references and not necessarily have to look them all up, but I'll read them for you if you don't have a Bible handy. It's no problem, but we will be covering a lot of scripture, and that's another reason why it's probably easier for me to just go through it. First of all, is the New Testament. The New Testament and the declaration of God's superhuman weakness. And you find that particularly in the epistles where the declaration of it is. We'll look in the Gospels here in a minute where we'll see the manifestation of it or the description of it as described by the way Jesus approached things. But first scripture is in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, and I'm also going to read verse 22 and verse 25. For the preaching of the cross, not just the gospel or salvation, but the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us who are saved it is the power of God. The cross is the power of God. And he'll confirm that in a few verses down from here. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called both Jews and Greeks, Christ crucified. Christ crucified. The power of God and the wisdom of God. And here it's clearly referencing Jesus, the Messiah. Christ crucified is Messiah crucified. You have to realize that from a Jewish perspective. Our ears have gotten used to Christ as a name almost. But from the Jewish perspective, Christ crucified, the words Christ crucified is Messiah crucified. Their Messiah was crucified. And this was the method that God used to break every chain and to bring us to him and to conform us to his image. So the last verse that I was going to read is verse 25. And when he talks about foolishness here, he's talking about the foolishness of the cross as it appears to Greeks or to Jews or, you know, to whomever. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So there it is, God and his superhuman weakness, and his weakness is stronger than men. All right, and then there's so many scriptures that you can reference along these lines. There really are, especially in 1 and 2 Corinthians. But 2 Corinthians says this, it's 2 Corinthians 13:4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him. We're weak in him. But we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. And so, he's saying that Jesus was crucified through weakness. And yet the crucifixion was the greatest strength. It was the greatest power ever unleashed on the planet. And he lives by the power of God, which is this self-giving way, this lose that others may gain, this die that others may live mentality. Foolishness to the strong, to the mighty, to the wise, to the noble. And so, so just using those two categories of scriptures as a reference point, now I want to look at the description of this, or the most important way of looking at it is to see Jesus in action, to hear his words, to see his actions in light of what we call, what the scriptures call, what Paul called, what God calls, what is known as the wisdom of God, and being able to see it, be able to see it in the scriptures, to be able to see it in Jesus, to be able to see it in one another. First scripture I want to reference is Matthew 26, verse 50 through 54. And these verses are, they are Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the people have come with torches and swords and what have you to take him to be crucified. And Judas had just walked up and kissed Jesus. I'm reading from verse 50. And Jesus said unto him, "Friend, wherefore art thou come, or why have you come?" Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's and smote off his ear. In other books, Luke or John or Mark, we know that his name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto him, "Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword." In other words, he's saying all the might and all the strength and all of the methods that we use, that's how you're going to die, by the very violence or strength that you overpower somebody else with, you'll die by the same thing. You see that over and over in history, whether it be Bible history, Israel history, the history of all the nations, the Romans or the Greeks or the Persians or the Chaldeans. Thinkest thou, and so he says, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" And then it's an interesting sentence that Jesus says right there, "Don't you know I could use power?" Then this sentence, "But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that it thus shall be?" Jesus is saying this method of calling in strength and power to win the victory is not according to the wisdom of God, or he's saying this method does not fulfill the scripture. I could do that. I could call 10,000 angels, but he didn't say, "But I'm not going to do that because da 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 da." He says this method doesn't fulfill scriptures. That's if you want to reference that, it's verse 54. That's immediately following him talking about calling 10,000 angels, but then the scriptures wouldn't be fulfilled. Then this wouldn't fulfill the scriptures by using the same kind of might and power that Rome would have used against you. So here you begin to see Jesus' weakness, intentional. Jesus' weakness, it's not regular weakness. It's not a weakness of impotence or lack of power or lack of ability. It's not that at all. It's what I've referred to before as chosen weakness. It is Jesus choosing weakness as his method of approach to things that are wrong and out of order and all of this. It embraces weakness, and then it embraces a weakness, therefore that embraces, if you will, appearing as foolish or appearing as weak or impotent or as if he couldn't defend himself. Well, he's just a carpenter's son. He has no weapons. But he has 10,000 angels because he's God's son. But he's not going to do that. And so it makes him appear to them as weak. And that's the way he appeared the whole time before Pontius Pilate, before Herod, before the crowds, the priests and everybody that's attacking. He appeared as just weak when he had all the power in the world. But he said, Jesus said, this won't fulfill the scriptures. And then this is Mark 15:3. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. They openly accused him of many things. Jesus knowing that they're the ones who are doing what's wrong. Who can among us, who can take blame when the blame, the person to be blamed, is the person or persons that is blaming us? Who can stand there and in superhuman weakness not justify themselves or not rail back on the one who is wrong and bad and evil and the, you know, who can do that? Who has God's superhuman weakness at work in their life? And then in Luke 23, verse 34 through 37, and we'll read 39 after that. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. This is when he's hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding. Now listen to all the people that come up against Jesus. Look at all the people. And the rulers also with them derided him. They're deriding him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be the Messiah, the chosen of God. And then next is the soldiers. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And verse 39, and one of the malefactors, one of the people who deserves every ounce of this, which were hanged, railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ. All of them saying, if you're the Messiah, every one of them, saying, if you're God's son or if you're the Messiah. Well, he is the Messiah. This is the kind of Messiah he is. Messiah crucified. So the question is, who can stay on the cross when you have the power to be delivered from it? Who will stay on the cross? Who has that power to not do something to save himself? And then I'm just going to read this scripture and I want you to think about it. This is out of Matthew. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. You're making a mistake. You err because you don't know the scriptures and you don't know the power of God as seen in the scriptures. And every one of us are erring if we don't know the power of God in weakness. We don't know Christ crucified in this way, other than we say we know him, but we're pointing only to the cross. We're not pointing to him in us. Or can we see it in scriptures that don't blatantly say it? And in fact, I want to give you some scriptures here. Because we're talking about power. And most people, when you think of the power of God, they're thinking of miracles and powers and defeating the enemy and all these kind of things. So we're going to go with that. Matthew 10:1. And I want to tell you right now, Matthew 10 is all one. It goes down to like 30 some odd verses. And it's all one setting where Jesus opens his mouth. And when he starts, everything added after that is all in one time, just like me sitting down here and sharing. Everything I'm saying from start to finish is in one setting. That's what this is about to be. So I want you to try to follow this and see what, you know, see if you can spot the wisdom of God in these verses. Verse 1, and when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the apostles are these, and it names them all. And so here we go. Oh, there it is. There's the power of God to cast out devils, to power against unclean spirits, to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. We read that, and that's immediately where our minds go. But let's see what, let's finish. Let's read, let's listen to his full sharing there. Behold, I send you forth as sheep. This is only a few verses down. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be you wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And what we're going to hear from here on, after Jesus said one verse about casting out demons, we're the head, not the tail, or blessed coming in, blessed going. That's what we say. That's the kind of terminology we use, which, by the way, is from the Old Covenant. This is Jesus's, and he's talking about power, but now he's going to talk about his kind of power. Sheep power. I send you forth as sheep among wolves. And he's going to show that they are sheep among wolves here and what the tenor of he wants their heart to be. Beware of men. They'll drag you, scourge you, and you should be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles, which I found to be interesting. It didn't say you're going to be dragged before these people for a testimony against you. It says for a testimony against them before God. but when they deliver you up, because you're going to be delivered up, and those words are the same words that that describe Jesus being delivered up unto being crucified. Take no thought on how you shall speak. And brother shall deliver this verse 21. This is all the same deal. I'm skipping some verses, but it's all the same speech, as it were. And the brother shall deliver up brother to death, and the father, the child, and the children shall rise against their parents and cause them to be put to death. And so here it is. See, everybody's turning and using the same force. The Romans are using this force, so I'm going to use a bigger force. 10,000 angels and I'll destroy them. No, because that won't fulfill the scriptures. That's not what fulfills the word of God. Next verse, verse 22. But ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. This isn't a glory. It's telling them this thing, giving them that power is not the power that's going to be glorious to God. Verse 23, but when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. This is not glorious power where we're going to defeat every foe. Every ounce of this, after he said about healing and stuff, they're on the run and they're having to lay down their lives. Let's see it even further. The disciple, this verse 24, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called thee the master of the house Beelzebub, which is basically Satan, how much more shall they call them of his household? And he says, see, every ounce of this is sheep for the slaughter. Every ounce of this. Okay, let's keep going. Verse 28, and fear not them who kill the body. So he's telling you they're going to kill your body. You're not. The victory isn't that you can defeat every devil and every attack that comes from government or this or that. The victory is that you have this superhuman weakness of God by Christ crucified, and that you're enacting that into the earth. Let's see it a little more. Verse 38, and he that taketh not his cross, this is the end now of, I'm going to send you out to heal and all this. And healers, deliverance people, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. I don't care how many healings or whatever. This is the same speech. In verse 39, and this is what I'll end with, he that seeks to save his life shall lose it. If this is all about just saving your life, getting power to defeat everything that makes you uncomfortable, then you're going to lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. All right. So, this is all about losing our life by means of a certain spirit. That's what it's about. It's not about living victorious, but by living by Christ crucified. And it's about living by the cross. He that taketh not the cross and followeth after me. I don't care what you do that is of God. And then the sentences that I've been saying a lot. Can we spot the wisdom of God in the scriptures that I just read? Can we spot the wisdom of God, which we read 2 Corinthians, that through weakness, through death, he destroyed him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. Do we believe in this power of life out of death? Do we believe in God's superhuman weakness, or do we only believe in it to one step, and that is at the cross where Jesus died? I believe in it there. But when it comes to someone attacking me or blaming me or hurting me, I'm going to get them back. Well, the answer isn't don't do anything. Do something powerful. Lay down your life by Christ crucified. Do something powerful. It is a form of power. It's just a different form. It's God's form. It's the form he used to change everything. And God, by using that, has made foolish the wisdom of men and the power of men. Amen.